Welcome to the Big Hunker Podcast. Check us out. We're up on YouTube now. All episodes, all new episodes are going up to YouTube. We Skype our guests. It all goes up to the YouTube machine. So if you're bored, check us out on YouTube. Big Hunker Podcast, pretty easy to find. This podcast is brought to you by the one and only Stanfield Hunting Outfitters. Got a couple turkey hunts left.
I got one dove hunt, private dove hunting weekend left for 20 or more, and that's about it. And I've got some October hunts and some November hunts.
A little bit of here and there.
All because two fat boys had a dream.
A little bit of here and there. So call Jeff, 940-658-3172 if you think you want to come out.
And I do answer my own phone. I'm unlike that world-famous Andy Shaver.
Yeah.
Just old fucking Jeff answers his phone.
So, got to.
Yep.
We're also brought to you by Blindgrass. Listen, they're not just a company that sells synthetic grass for your blind, but they do sell synthetic grass for your blind, and it works great. You brush it once, you forget about it, it's not going to rot or mildew. But they also have waterproof gun cases and waterproof shell bags. If you're somebody that hunts water, listen, we're waterfowlers, or if you're hunting flooded timber and you're worried about your shotgun shells taking a dive.
Or you're on a boat all summer fishing. If you've got a boat, get one of their dry bags, put your stuff in it, seal it up in that bag, and leave it in your boat, and you don't have to worry. Because trust me, when that something happens to that boat and you wish you had a dry bag, it's too late.
Beautiful. Blindgrass.com. Also, we are brought to you by Bangtail Whiskey at Bangtail.com.
Traditional corn mash whiskey aged in charred New American oak barrels. You'll find a pleasant aroma of vanilla and spice before galloping to notes of nougat, sweet corn, and a lingering caramel finish. Whiskey's made right there in Florida. Good friend Brandon Bean, up-and-coming country singer. It's his stuff. It's Bangtail Whiskey, and you can get that at bangtail.com.
Yeah, they'll ship it right to you, right?
Yeah, you can get up to they ship it anywhere in the United States now. You can buy it online, ship to your door, make you an old-fashioned.
A whiskey sour, Jeff.
Is that what you make?
That's what all the proper gentlemen are drinking, are whiskey sour.
Oh, excuse me. I'm not proper. And I guess I'm not a gentleman.
People, that's the first thing they think of. Check them out at bangtail.com. It is good whiskey. We had it out here this last winter. Really good stuff. We're also brought to you by Goose Creek Retriever, Mr. Matt Peel. It is the dog training season. If you're going to have your four-legged buddy ready to go by September, October, November, you need to get on the horse right now, and Matt Peel can help you out.
At GooseCreekRetrievers.com, they have an early exposure puppy program. It's 10 weeks to 5 months old. If you're going to spend the money to buy a dog to train, there's no sense, and I've seen so many people do it, they buy a puppy and it sits in their kennel till 6 months old.
Yeah.
Or they sit at the house, your kids ruin the dog basically by spoiling it, and then you got to start all over. Send it off to somewhere like Matt. Have them take that puppy from 10 weeks on and get it started and ready. They're going to get exposure to live birds, dead birds, water, gunfire, obedience, and potty training. And potty training's a key. Buy a dog, you send your puppy off, and the sumbitch don't shit in the house. So I'm telling you right now, GooseCreekRetrievers.com, our buddy Matt Peel, and get the early exposure puppy program and tell him just plain old Jeff told you to give him a call.
Because plain old Jeff will be sending his dog to Goose Creek Retrievers.
Oh, I am not training a dog to potty train.
And if you've got that four-legged friend, then you're going to need stuff to go around it. You need to go to GundogOutdoors.com and get their stuff that's going to help you make life a little bit better around the house for your four-legged hunting buddy. They've got the field trauma kit, which I think everybody needs, whether you got a dog or not. They've got this nifty little water gadget. You press a button, water comes out into the to the little mouth guard. Dog drinks it that way. No more cramming water bottles down your dog's throat. It's easy and effective. And also, they've got what I think is the best product since sliced bread, the quick release system. It is now patented. All it takes is one accident. All it takes is one dog breaking, and it's a completely different morning. Get the quick release system. Keep your four-legged hunting buddy right next to you where he should be. We're also brought to you by Pacific Calls. The boys up at Pacific Calls have a hell of a thing going on. They're retooling the 206. I've had the pleasure of running it. It is an absolute screamer. It's also turkey season. They've got mouth calls. They've got some pot calls. You can check them out at PacificCustomCalls.com. And if you use the promo code BHP25, it saves you 25% off at checkout.
They're going to be at Squad Fest.
Yep.
And they're going to be at the Ducks Unlimited at Texas Motor Speedway in yep. June. And then they'll be at the Game Fair in Minnesota.
They better get to going.
And
they better get to building.
And the world-famous Andy Shaver is going to be at Squad Fest and at Anoka, Minnesota.
So we're still negotiating, but we'll see.
You're negotiating on what?
We're negotiating, Jeff.
Who's we?
It was a joke. You didn't. Oh. You obviously didn't get it.
I guess not.
Check them out, PacificCustomCalls.com. Speaking of Squad Fest, we're
brought to you by... Oh, you were negotiating on rights of having to sign autographs all day. Excuse us.
I'm not signing autographs all day.
But you will if someone asks you.
We'll see. Once again, we're negotiating. We're brought to you by Dive Bomb Industries, the leader. Skinny is the way to go. Oh, we packed everything up just a couple months ago. Everything's stored away so nicely. It's insane. You need to be running silhouettes. The full body movement is over. It's done with. DiveBombIndustries.com. It's a way of life. You get skinny, you put out big spreads, you pack them up nice and neat, and you move on about your day.
Organized and life is simple.
I love it. They've also got they got some new floaters coming out. Be looking for they've got the duck floater out already, but they've also got a Canada Goose floater coming out in the near future. So be looking for that over at DiveBombIndustries.com. Love them. Also, we're brought to you by Dirty Duck Coffee. If your coffee sucks, it ain't the duck. Texas made. It's how I start my morning every morning with the high velocity. Fill that cup up and away I go. It's my go-go juice.
And look at their swag. They got a brand new t-shirt coming out that is badass.
Am I going to get one, Jeff, or am I going to have to
They got our sizes. They got a badass shirt coming that I don't think they've got up on the site, but I've seen it, and it's awesome. So
see, and, you know, Jeff says I'm world famous, but he's getting insider information. But, dude, check them out at dirtyduckcoffee.com and get your high velocity or – they've got a bunch of different blends, so check them out. Whichever one fits your personality, buy it. Dirty Duck Coffee. Also brought to you by Boss Shot Shells, American-made, bismuth copper-plated. All it takes is one. They're running their Boss Tom line right now. I am very much looking forward to smacking a Tom turkey in the face with Boss Tom.
You still giving everybody one Boss Tom to shoot the turkey with this year? Or is that last year's deal?
That was last year's deal, Jeff. Corona screwed that for everybody. We'll see. But no, that was last year. You're screwed. Check them out, BossShotShells.com. It's never too early to get your shotgun shells for this coming season.
Highly recommend getting your shells. Get them ordered before summertime.
Do not wait until the last minute, is what we're trying to say. So
last year at the end of the year, I had guys calling me every day that were coming on a hunt. Hey, we'll be there next week. We're having trouble finding shells. Don't get stuck in that situation. Start stocking up now. Buy a case now, buy another case in May, buy a case in July, and you're done for the year.
BossShotShells.com. We're also brought to you by Lucky Duck. It is predator hunting season. There are tournaments all over. They have a wonderful electronic predator call. You make all sorts of noises with it. Clay Reed would approve.
Best blinds on the market?
Best blinds on the market. Best spinners on the market, bar none. You can fit four grown men in the blind. And
don't forget about your buddy that rides in the back of the truck and get you a dog crate.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They've got a dog crate out there that is 5-star crash test yes. rated or whatever they stick with it. So don't worry about sticking Fido in the back of the pickup, because if he blows out, he'll be okay. Or if, hit a patch of ice, he'll be all right back there. You, maybe not so much. Dog will make it. Check him out, luckyduck.com. Last but not least, RIP, rest in paradise, Looking Glass Duck Club podcast.
Might be coming back soon.
I might have some information. You're terrible to these people.
Anyways, check them out at the Looking Glass
Duck Club. You can still support them. They have apparel. You can check them out on Instagram and message Logan. He really likes penis pictures. So just if you send him a penis picture, you get like a free koozie or something like that. So he loves to see it. Check him out, LookingGlassDuckClub.com or LookingGlassDuckClub on Instagram, and enjoy. We appreciate everybody listening. Check us out on YouTube. Subscribe if you haven't already. That's what everybody on YouTube has to say. Like and subscribe. This episode of the podcast, we're joined by the one and only Mr. Matt Peel from Goose Creek Retrievers. new sponsor of ours. We're excited to have on board with us and talk about dog training, talk about hunting, hunt tests, field trials, potty training. It's all in here. It's a fun episode. We really, really enjoyed our time with him. It got cut short by this little dickhead named Connor, but it is what it is. We appreciate any time that we could have got with Matt. So we hope that you enjoy it. Here we go. Matt Peel from Goose Creek Retriever. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Boom! And welcome to the Big Honker Podcast brought to you by Goose Creek Retrievers. I'm Jeff Stanfield with the world fucking famous Andy Shaver.
You knew it was coming, Matt.
Yeah. I knew it was coming.
You knew it was coming.
You're the only person that brags about being famous.
Yeah, it's clearly always me, isn't it, Matt? Andy, always me.
After the comment you made about your wife, I'm not going to ever let you live it down. Your kids going around bragging to school that you're famous?
No.
Yes. Somehow they're hearing that shit at home. You know, that's not just something the average kid hears about is, well, my daddy's famous.
If he listens to, like, the one part of the podcast that's acceptable for him to hear, that's what he hears from you.
You should be embarrassed. Our guest today is the owner of Goose Creek Retrievers. Now, I know you're on the East Coast. Are you in Maryland, Matt?
Yes, sir. The Eastern Shore.
The Eastern Shore, Mr. Matt Peel. Eastern Shore is one of the prettiest places in the United States of America.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Beautiful place. Old plantation homes.
Yeah, we just don't have much terrain. Anywhere I go that's got even a remote-looking hill or anything like that, I think that's the coolest thing in the world because everything here is just flat as a pancake.
Well, it's beautiful, beautiful stuff. Now, you're good friends with Mr. Stoner, right?
I am. Yep, that's my buddy.
How'd you meet Josh?
Man, I really don't know how we met. Actually, I do. We met through a mutual friend of ours, Mark Helios.
Okay.
He introduced the two of us.
Josh is a classy dude, man. I'll tell you right now.
He definitely is. He definitely is.
He had to go pick up something of yours in like Tennessee or some shit, didn't he?
Yeah. He rode. He took my truck and went picked up my new dog trailer in Tennessee. And brought it back in like 22 hours.
He's a driving son of a bitch.
Yeah, when
literally when I bought it, I just bought it. And then I called him and I was like, hey, man, you want to drive and go pick something up for me? Oh, yeah, where is it? He's like, well, it's Tennessee. Oh, yeah, I'll do that. No problem. Never thought twice about it.
He's one night I talked to him. It was this year when he was leaving Blake's.
Yeah.
And I thought he come down here and went to the football draft. And then he went to Nebraska. And then he helped Blake pick corn, and then he was going to come back down here, and he's going to be here like on Thursday. It's like Sunday night. I go, what are you doing? He said, oh, I just left Blake's. I said, oh, you coming down early? No, I'm going to go home. I'm like, you're going to drive all the way to fucking Maryland and back to Texas in like 3-day time? And he did.
That was like Christmas time or something.
No, this was before season started this year. But okay. He's done that a lot of times. Like at Christmas this year, we had like 5 or 6 days off. And I was like, are you going to go home? I just don't know. He waited around to get airplane tickets because I may drive home. I thought, drive, Phil, that's
2 days of your 5-day break is going to be on the road.
Yeah, man. But, he loves it for whatever reason.
But he is a super cool dude. So
he's driving down. He's going to come. I think he's going to come turkey hunting here in another 10 or 12 days. So, like, shit, he's got another road trip in him. And then he's up to Blake's for. Well, I guess he's going to be a Nebraska resident before too long.
Josh is coming down here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I might be buying some decoys off of a guy on the East Coast, and so I might have him pick them up, like some old gunner decoys.
You better get it figured out soon, because
I will do that. That may save me a bunch of shipping costs. Hey, Matt, let's talk about dogs. Now, I was raised around the dog business, so God bless you for that. That is like owning a dairy to me. It takes a real special person to train other people's dogs and enjoy the dogs, because you work 7 days a week.
Yeah, No days off, man. not a single day off but, in the past, like, 7 years.
But you have something that really interests me was your starter program with the puppies.
Okay.
What do you look for when you go to – when someone's going to buy a puppy – and I know a lot of the hybrid dogs are they're sold before they ever hit the ground.
Yep.
And but if you buy the first dog and you get the pick of the litter, what should they be looking for?
Man, I really, you know, I don't really look into the picks that much. I buy the breeding I want. I got a little puppy. She's on her way from Texas to me right now. She'll be up here tomorrow. I'm down at a buddy's house in Virginia, but she'll be up here, I think, tomorrow or the next day. And I bought the breeding. Never seen the dog. And, you know, there's the – you don't want the one that's hiding in the corner that's scared of everything because then you're going to have a problem on your hands. But with well-bred dogs, which is what everybody should be buying, well-bred, health-tested, everything dogs, I buy the breedings. I buy what I like on paper and do my due diligence looking into, you know, specific bloodlines and go from there.
So do you look at the overall health of the line, or do you look at the accomplishments of the line, or do you kind of combine everything?
Yes, all of the above, yeah. Hips, all the genetic testing that we, you know, put them through, and then the accomplishments of everything all the way back.
Are you buying field trial? I don't know much about the dogs anymore. I used to know a lot because I was around it a bunch, but back in the day, field trial dogs was the big bloodline.
What I like. I prefer really high drive dogs. Like I tell people I want a dog that if he doesn't want to do it as much as I want to do it, he and I aren't going to get along. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that like a more laid back dog. And you know, the common misconception about these hybrid dogs is they can't turn it off. And they're, you know, there's five dogs in this house right now and you don't know they're in here.
Yeah.
You know, that's, they can turn it off. I just like the ones that love to work. And you typically get that with the field trial lines.
What is the back in the day, the TruMark dogs were the big field trial dogs, the bloodlines. That's so far back. Do you ever, is that still a bloodline?
You see them dogs every once in a while come back through a pedigree. That's kind of been a, we were just talking about it yesterday, actually. We were training. What they call old blood is that's kind of getting to be a new thing. Like people are trying to bring back some old blood. And that would be, you know, what I would consider old blood.
How much fucking research do you have to do to find old blood? Like a line from way back. You got to
be looking at papers there's all day. There's frozen semen that's stored all across the country.
Oh, really?
You just got to find somebody who owns it and see if they're coming off of it.
Your dog's got TruMark blood in it, Andy.
Well, Rip and Blue Thunder.
Yeah, well, Rip and Blue Thunder was part of that.
TruMark?
I think it was a TruMark dog.
I'd have to go back and listen to...
The encyclopedia died last summer, so we've lost a lot of that. But
I got to go back and listen to some of those episodes and just pray that he mentioned it.
That's what I wonder, because I didn't know if people went to field trial. Now, is there a separate, like, a master hunter bloodline that people follow also? Is it kind of...
There's, you know, like, the hunt test dogs are you know, sought after just as much. You know, it's kind of 6-1, half dozen the other. But I, you know, I just prefer the trial dogs just because you tend to get a little bit more out of them, personally.
I ran a dog in the first master hunter test I ever had.
Really?
Yep, in Wichita, outside of Wichita, Kansas, a little town called Derby, Kansas, and shit, I don't even know what year it was.
How'd you do?
I placed it. Well, master hunter test, they don't have a first, second, or third. It's just a pass-fail, isn't it?
Yeah, you're competing against a standard.
Yeah.
So in a trial, you're competing against every dog there. In a hunt test, whether it's HRC or AKC, you're competing against what – or not competing against, but you're competing against what that specific organization says that dog should be able to do at that level.
It was the AKC one is what it was, but it was the first one they ever had.
Did you pass?
Yes, and I can't remember even what dog. I think it was Piper. It was one of Dad's dogs, field trial dogs. But I ran it. Dad took like six dogs there, and we all six of them finished. It was a whole completely different type situation than the field trial dogs are. Field trials was a bunch of rich snobs and a bunch of people looking down on everybody that are spending a shitload of money on dogs. The hunting test was more of the regular guy that there was a lot of families there that had little Fifi out there, family dog from the starter to what is it called, the first part of hunting? It's a master hunter, and then what are the, is it intermediate and something else?
Junior, senior, and master.
Junior, okay, yeah, junior
and then,
senior.
In the HRC, it started, seasoned, and finished.
But it was an interesting deal. It was a lot different than a field trial. And I could see where it was going to be a big success because it incorporated the regular person a lot more than the field trial does, which at that time, the field trial circuit was dominated by pros. Mm-hmm. There are very few amateurs that could compete at that level.
There's a really, really a lot of well-versed, accomplished amateurs now in the field trial world. Very much so, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it's... I mean, I guess, you know, there's still a huge pro base in both hunt tests and field trials. But there are some amateurs that are, you know, just as good as a lot of pros, if not better.
How is that? I mean, what's brought that on?
I guess just people like to play the game. Really? It's become a sport more than it has become a hunting thing. It's more of a sport now. Like, you got people that, you know, you get the master title in, let's say, six passes, and then they'll run the dog 50 more times,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to collect more passes and whatnot. It's become more of a, you know, like a sport. It's every weekend, everybody's out there. My clients come out and hang out at the test with us, and camaraderie kind of deal. It's a good time.
They're coming out to watch their dog compete.
Yeah, yep. Or the other dogs. Like, I had clients there this past weekend that didn't have a dog in the test but just came and spent the day with us.
The hunting test is better at that because it's not a cutthroat situation. Where field trials,
sure.
There's three freaking ribbons, and you get a point for a ribbon. And it used to be very, very cutthroat in the field trial game, and I bet it still is.
Well, I mean, everybody wants to win. That's, you know, yes. That's the American way. Everybody wants to be the best, the biggest, the fastest. And I mean, it's no different with that, really.
Sounds a little bit like it's kind of reaching a level of like horse races almost. People coming out to see their stud.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you could say that. Maybe not to that level.
Right. But I mean, it's kind of,
sure.
It doesn't sound like it's just a bunch of, you know, good old boys or trainers out there anymore working their dog. It sounds like it's starting to create a crowd around it.
You'll see little kids and, you know, the whole family out there.
Is this at a field trial or a hunting test?
Hunt test.
Yeah. A field trials back in the day, you'd pull up there and there'd be people pull up in Jaguars and high dollar shit. And it was like, you know, get out and bring all their yuppie friends from Dallas to look at the dog they're spending. Back then, if you were paying $2,000 a month for boarding and training and with a pro retreat, that was a ton of money. I mean,
yeah.
And when those people would show up, there would be a lot, you know, it was pretty fancy shit. But it was completely different. That's why I like the hunting test. The hunting test incorporated more of the regular people, you know?
Yep.
Well, I got a fucking outfit for next year, Jeff. You just wait until you see
an outfit.
Oh, I'm going to look sporty.
Oh, God.
Talking about that, I'm going to look sporty, Matt.
What are you going to wear?
Jeff. You'll see next year.
Andy would have made a good field trial latcher, you know, someone just wants to hang around all the time and act like he's in the game. what kind of entries when you go to master hunting test, what kind of dog, how many, what are the dog numbers there?
The AKC just upped it. Now it's honestly, it's even confusing for me. It's going to like 66 and some. Hey, Connor. Never mind. The numbers are like, they're odd numbers now. It used to be like 60, 90, 120, and now they've rolled a couple extra numbers in there. So it's like 60. The one we're in this weekend is 266 dog masters. And then it kind of goes from there. And I think they did that because there were so many pros entering dogs. They gave more spots to for amateurs to be able to enter their dogs.
So there's 66 dogs entered in a master test.
Yep.
How long did that take?
2 days.
We went to a trial one time when it was open, and there was like 107 dogs involved or some shit.
Yep.
And they started on Friday morning. I think they got done Sunday afternoon for the 107 dogs, which field trial tests take so damn long for the damn, you know, one series is forever.
Got like a 20-minute run or something like that.
It's horrible.
So, and that's why they whittle down so fast. You know, they'll cut, if you there was 107 dogs in there, they'd probably cut it in half after the first series.
Yeah. And that's still a shitload of dogs. That's why I liked about Masters, too. It don't take as long.
Oh, it takes plenty long. It takes plenty long.
You get your feel of it.
Especially if you guys like us that have, we'll have a couple junior dogs, a couple dogs of senior, a couple dogs of master. So you're bouncing the whole time. There's no, there's not like putting your feet up and taking a break. You're kind of all across the property the whole weekend. So,
so do you, you've got different people running different dogs?
No, I run all the dogs.
Oh, fuck. So you are bouncing everywhere. So it's not like Jeff where they had six dogs and he took one or two and Ron took one or two.
No, whoa, 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 hold on. I ran one dog just because it was a hunting test one time. I didn't run no dogs in no field trials. Dad would run whatever he took. He did. That was normal. There'd be some. Yeah. There's somebody like Matt. Jim Swan would have 15, 16 dogs probably at a field trial.
Can you tell, like, okay, this is going to be a good day for this dog?
Yeah.
As soon as they get off the truck.
Sometimes they get off the truck and you're like, well, I'm going to put this motherfucker back. This ain't going, this is going to go south.
In a hurry.
And it does. You can tell. I got a dog right now that was running at a very, very nice, I guess, impressive level. And I had a bunch of females in the kennel come in heat all at the same time.
Whoops.
And that dog, he might know his name right now. he might know his name. I don't know. So, and he's running this weekend, so we'll roll the dice. I mean, he's either going to do it or he's not, I guess. And, you know, he's only got two options, pass or fail. So
it's frustrating when you got a dog that can do it all and he fucks you every time on just doing something just stupid.
Oh, man. He's such a nice dog. Like, he's never, like, some of them will fuck you just because they like to and they know better and they're just going to do it. And this dog was up until, like 2 weeks ago, I mean, he was a machine, and the ladies are driving him nuts, and he is, I mean, I probably should have left him home, honestly.
So what is he doing? Like, you can just tell, like, his attention is elsewhere?
Fuck. Like, it's a master dog that probably couldn't pass a easy senior test.
What's a master dog? What's a two-year-old master title dog? What are they caught running these days?
God, man, it depends on the dog, the pedigree, the where you are, who it was with. That's such a broad number that I don't even know that I could give you something fair.
It all just depends, honestly, on what they're willing to spend.
You could have a dog with somebody and it'd be worth more than the same kind of caliber dog with somebody else just because of who it was with.
So if someone wanted to get into that game and buy a master title dog, we looking at $5,000 to $10,000?
Shit, no. Between what, 10 and 15 probably.
Shoo.
That's a lot of money for a fucking dog.
I mean, unless, you know, there's, you could get like a washout, like a field trial washout, and they're going to be a lot cheaper, you know, like maybe $7,500 or so, because they couldn't win in the trials. They'll go do anything else you want them to do ever in history. But they just wouldn't place in a trial, so they'll unload them to put the money into another dog.
And there's a lot of damn good dogs that haven't placed in field trials that have open that can run and do everything, but they just not the like anything else. But god dang it. But I've always told everyone, if you want to buy a started dog, find you a washed out field trial dog that, you know, made it to the opens, because they're trained to do everything. That's nuts.
Yeah, just because they couldn't place an open, that dog will do. That dog will know more than you can do with him.
Yep, and a long way off. So tell us about your puppy program that you have.
I don't take a ton of puppies. I kind of take one or two at a time. Try to be one at a time. It's just based around setting them up for success and teaching them how to learn. And that's one of the biggest things that I think people fail a young dog at. They don't teach the dog how to learn. Everything that we're going to do with that dog in the future is going to be revolving around like cost and benefit, risk and reward, pressure on, pressure off. you know, I do this and I'm rewarded. I do this and there's a negative consequence. And you can teach that with a puppy, with a treat. I don't do this. I don't get the treat. That's a negative consequence. I did it. I got the treat. And, you know, people want to take that puppy and throw like a thousand. I just made a Facebook post about it like yesterday or the day before. People will throw 1,000 bumpers for a puppy, mm-hmm. and they won't teach it to come back. You know, they won't teach it to sit. Little stuff like that. And I don't mean like competitive level obedience that the dog needs to know, but they have no semblance of. I've got a dog right now that doesn't know her name.
Really?
But she'll retrieve her ass off.
How old is she?
Like 3 days. And the guy told me, you know, man, she loves to retrieve, loves to retrieve, loves to retrieve. She's 6 months old. She'll probably run a 200-yard single like it's nothing. She won't come back when you call her. You know what I mean? Like, is it really? It's not a retriever if it doesn't come back to you.
Right.
Maybe she's deaf. How do you teach her name?
Well, no. I mean, it's such like a – it's such – I'm thinking back to my days with Lou, like that wasn't, he knew his name and like he would come to me. So like, that's such a rudimentary thing that I don't even know how you would fix it.
Put some of his food in your pocket. And when you're walking outside, calling back to you, you know, Lou here, good boy. And give him a piece of food. Yeah. And then in like 3 days, he is proficient at coming back because he thinks he's getting a treat.
Right.
It's pretty simple. And like people want to see him retrieve. And like I said, I'm not saying beat them to death with obedience,
right?
You know, because that's going to get boring. But just a rudimentary sit, hear, kennel, and then 2 or 3 retrieves a day. And that's also where people fail these dogs. It's like when they're puppies, literally 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. And grown men don't know how to count to 3, apparently, because they'll be like, I did it for 45 minutes and he wouldn't quit. Well, now he's out of control. Perfect. That's great.
Always put them up when they're eager to want to do
Absolutely.
More.
And end Absolutely. On a high note.
Now, in all fairness to Lou, though, Lou's problem would be he didn't know if his name was Lou or you hard-headed motherfucker or get the fuck over here or whatever his name was.
Oh, yeah. I got a few of them, too.
It was with Ron.
Son of a bitch is my favorite.
Yeah.
It was
you
a lot
get over
of,
here, you son of a bitch.
It was a lot of goddamn it Lou's. No good. Common motherfucker is what he would call him also. You hey, common motherfucker.
I call him a talentless motherfucker. That's my, yeah. You talentless motherfucker, get over here.
But then when the clients come up, they're just like, oh, that's a great dog.
Oh, yeah, he's been wonderful. Yeah.
But I can't remember. He'd fuck up. You common motherfucker, get over here. Yeah. Shit.
I never knew of a person who didn't have his dog, didn't know his name.
No.
That's crazy.
I mean, you figure a 6-month-old dog, I'm sure she knows her name.
Right.
But she doesn't respond to it. You know, unless you have her like on a short leash, like she'll look at you when you say it. Mm-hmm. But if she's off of a leash out in the yard, she's not coming back. She doesn't even pay you know, say her name and she doesn't even look at you.
Always
she never
that.
Learned it. She never learned that like coming back was going to be a reward. If you got a bumper in your hand, she'll do anything in the world for you.
Jeff, you've screwed up with Ollie. That's what Ollie does. Ollie dicks around out here in the yard. If Jeff lets him out, he'll go down to the fucking kennels where the other dogs are. He'll go to the dead pile. He'll go to where we dump food. Anywhere but where Jeff is. But when he says, hey, you want a biscuit?
That motherfucker's
Ollie
on point.
Is at his fucking toes looking at him.
But
prettiest sit you'll ever see.
I have learned that I've got a little Red Ranger BB gun, and I can pull that out. And he thinks I'm going to shoot him in the ass with it from way off. And so if I pull that gun out, he comes back in. And if I use my phone and I pick my phone up like it's a shot caller remote, that fucker will cow down real fast. He don't even have the caller on him, but just me picking up that phone and showing it to him, he thinks I'm going to shock his ass.
Well, see, he's collar-wise.
Yeah, he's fucking smartest dog I've ever had.
Yeah, you were telling me about that the other night on the phone.
Smart as hell. Only dog we've got. He's our empty nest dog, but he runs the house and everything, but he is really, really, really smart. But he's smart enough to get out of shit. But that BB gun, he's scared to death of that son of a bitch.
I mean, would you be? I think it's justified.
Yeah. I grew up as a kid. I've been shot with one. I wouldn't shoot him with something I haven't been shot with before.
Okay.
It teaches him a lesson. Is there yardage
that you try to stay outside?
Oh, I don't shoot him at like 10 yards or nothing or 20. A BB gun at 30 yards is not going to do that much. Just little ping him a little bit.
Just get his attention.
Yeah, I'm not going to hurt him. I don't want to hurt him. If I hurt him, then I got to pay to get him fixed.
I'll give you that.
And most times I don't even shoot him. I'll just shoot him around, something around him that'll make a little bit of noise, and that gets his attention. But I have popped him on his ass with it before.
Oh, God.
But I've shot my brother.
You're going to what?
I'm going to have to see this one.
It works perfect. I pull that damn BB gun up, and he comes running right back up. See, his problem...
When he hears the pellet shaking it or something?
No, it's not a pellet gun. It's just a one-cock deal, the old red right. It's not like that.
When he hears the BBs in there.
Oh, yeah, he knows. Oh, yeah, you pick that sumbitch up, he fucking cows down. He knows. And I don't think he's been shot, but maybe two or three times with it, but... I'll shoot around him sometimes around just to make a noise, and he'll come running in.
You're going
to
get that dog taken away from you. What's going to end up happening?
Them fuckers going to be all over this.
Somebody's going to come get that motherfucker.
PETA can come right out the side of our gate and they can march all the fucking one. I don't give two shits.
They can get it. They can get it too.
Yep. They can cancel my ass. I don't care. So, Matt, let me ask you this. Training a dog to be house broke. You do that, right?
Oh, God. Yeah, unfortunately.
The last dog we had, we didn't have a problem. We kennel trained him. Sure. He'd get out of the bathroom, kennel, go outside, go to the bathroom first thing, then you then run around. I don't think Ollie's ever went to the bathroom in the house to take a dump. Thank God, because Michelle would have got rid of him for sure. What's the key to it?
Consistency. Teaching them that outside is where they go. We litter box train all our puppies before they go home. And we use like wood pellets that you use for like a pellet stove in your house. Mm-hmm. And then by the time them puppies go home, I'll give the people a bag, like a Ziploc bag of that and take, hey, put this in your yard where you want him to go to the bathroom. And in like 2 days of you taking him to that spot, every time you take him out, he'll go to the door and wait and you open the door and he'll run right over to that spot. And then the pellets will just dissolve into your yard after they get wet.
That's a damn good idea.
Yeah, but consistency. Never leave puppies unattended.
That's no shit.
Just for every reason other than the bathroom too. If he's quiet, something's fucked up.
Something's not good. Yeah.
But yeah, so just honestly, consistency. That's the biggest thing. Is just keeping a good routine schedule. Like if you get up, I'm super routine. I get up every morning between like 4 and 5, like clockwork. Take the puppy out, go to the bathroom, back in the kennel, have breakfast, back out 5 minutes after he eats. Just whatever routine that you're going to have, stick to it, and they'll fall right into it in literally 2 or 3 days.
They're very structured. It's funny because, I mean,
they love it.
When you start to deviate from that structure, like yep. I know, you know, during hunting season, I'm up at 3:30, so Lou's up at 3:30. And then as we transition into the off season, now all of a sudden I'm not up until 6 or 6:30, and then like Lou's like, "What the fuck are we doing? Like we're 4 hours late, buddy." Yeah. So
yeah, dogs dogs don't like to be in control. They like to have that pack mentality of like, "Hey, that's my leader. We do the same thing every day," mm-hmm. and they love it. And that's how I like to live. I like to do very consistent things, so it works for the dogs. And they know, like, if we're home and we're not on the road and it's like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon and I haven't fed them, mm-hmm. they're all letting me know about it.
Yeah. Because
they're so used to getting fed at that same exact time that they get pretty upset about when I'm late. And they're just used to that kind of routine. They're used to getting up at every time the same time in the morning. That's how I'm able to, I keep my kennels really, really clean. I very rarely have to spray out kennels because mm-hmm. I'm up the same time every day. And they're so used to that, you know, dogs don't want to mess in their kennel if they don't have to.
Right.
So if you keep them on that routine, even as a big dog, it's super simple to keep them, you know, keep them clean, if you will, just by having a little bit of a routine.
I built a nice fucking kennel in my backyard. Nice concrete slab, fenced it in, beautiful. It's under a shade tree. And I was thinking, like, okay, so if we ever needed to go out of town, I could just put Lou in there. I could have somebody come over, give him some water and some food, and when I got back, I would just clean out the kennel. The motherfucker would not go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Two days in there, and they're like, he's not gone, and he's, like, freaking out to get out of here. So, like, the kennel, He stayed in there maybe twice. He barked all night long, so my neighbors were pissed at me.
Yeah.
He wouldn't go into the bathroom, so somebody was having to come over 2-3 times a day to let him out. It's like, motherfucker, I paid all this money to get this so that I wouldn't have to bother people when I'm out of town. So now it's just, it sits there. It's no good. Waste of money.
Well, I mean, honestly, so I have this thing that I believe that dogs that are clean in kennels like that are intelligent dogs.
Yeah.
Dogs that are nasty in a kennel and just, man, I've seen some dogs that could care less. Mm-hmm. That would mess and lay right down into it.
Oof.
And they're never good in the field.
Really?
It's a consistent thing. If they're smart enough to know that I don't want to sit in my own mess,
mm-hmm.
they're usually pretty good dogs in the field.
That makes sense.
It goes hand in hand.
Now, I will tell you this. I made the thing big because I was thinking, you know, he can like, I mean, I didn't put it to where.
In the corner and, yeah.
Yeah, I made it big enough to where he wouldn't have to lay in his shit or piss. But it was a waste of a couple grand is all that it turned out to be.
I put him in there sometimes when I have to watch him. I haven't in a long time, but I used to.
And the guy that built it, we put a crossbar that's like, so it's probably like nose high. No, it's about forehead high. But if you're not looking for it, it'll fucking clock you. It about knocked me to my knees one day. I put big flagging tape over it. It knocked Ron out one day. He told me about it. I felt bad for that. Because it's just square tubing. So it's like just rusted color square tubing, and I've got a fence behind it in the tree. That fucking crossbar, you can't see. Yep. You just walk in full speed, kind of looking, because you open the gate, and you're looking down, and... couple times.
Matt, have you ever used the old match trick on the dogs to make them go to the bathroom?
No, but I have heard about it. The bent match stick.
My dad was an old school. He did that with the puppies all the time. And he used the word high on, which somebody told dad one time in Indian, like Native American.
I thought it was English.
No, it was Indian. From the Indian, Ireland. Like the Cherokee Indians or something. It meant take a shit. So he would put a match in a dog's ass and he'd say hi on to him. Like he thought the dog knew Native American, I guess, already. makes him go to the bathroom.
I can look it up.
I had a dog. The reason I know about that, I had a dog that every test that she would run, you could air her for a day. And the first bird she picked up, she would run out, snatch it up, be coming back. About halfway back, she'd spit it out, turn around and shit on it.
Oh, God.
And she would never do it in training, ever. And so you can't correct it if they won't do it, right? Right. But she'd do it at a test. And this older guy that trains, he was telling me about it. And that was probably a year before I heard Ron talk about it on the podcast. I'm like, well, fuck, that's got to work. I've never used it because I just, you know, me and the dogs are close. We're just not that close yet.
But he don't do it to the older dogs, but to the puppies.
Yeah.
Really?
When he's teaching them to go to the bathroom outside, he would take them outside, put a match in their ass, they'd take a shit, and they could go back in the house.
I got you. whatever works, I guess.
It works.
He didn't want to stand around and wait was his big deal.
I usually go with the old go potty, and, you know, about 30 seconds in, they'll start going.
No,
another thing, talking about potty training puppies. If you know that high on or whatever he was saying, it doesn't. The words don't matter. You could say purple. If you do it every time they're doing it, they'll just start doing that.
Right.
Every time our young dogs go to the bathroom, I take them out to like where I want them to go, and I say go potty once or twice, and then once they start going, immediately good go potty, good go potty, good go potty, and then you get dogs that you get off the truck later at a test or you're trying to train, go potty, and they'll literally just stop and piss because they've been programmed to hear that every time. And then they'll just do it naturally.
Isn't that funny that we use words like go potty for these fucking animals?
They don't have a fucking idea what we're talking about.
Lou is he's this giant dog, and clients will always kind of give me shit. And I'm like, all right, bud, go potty. And they're like, the fuck is he? Is he a 2-year-old? Like, who are you talking to over here? Like, look at the guy. Like, tell him to go take a shit or something. Don't tell him to go potty. I'm like, well.
You go shoving a match up his ass, they really think something's wrong with you.
It's the word it's the word
I'd probably do that when, you know, in your fenced-in backyard. I wouldn't be doing that, you know, walk down the street. Hold still, Fluffy.
Yeah.
you just turn them up over on their head and flip that tail up and
I've seen dad.
And she goes,
I've seen dad do it to so many fucking dogs, and people look at him the first time they come pick up a puppy or something, and they got a damn mat shoved up the dog's ass. I'm like, what's this guy doing to this dog?
And I'll never forget the first time I asked him, like, is, because he'd always put the sulfur end in, and I'm like, is it?
Huh?
The sulfur end. You don't want to get a splinter in your dog's ass. So I said, like, okay. Is it the sulfur that makes them do it? Or, like, why do you put that end in?
Just having something in your asshole.
That's what he said. That was the reason. He's like, well, would you want something in your asshole? You'd probably try to push it out, wouldn't you?
The guy that told me about it said to take, like, a matchbook match.
Yeah.
And bend it in half and then put that in there. And it, you know, I guess less splinters because it's cardboard. I don't know. I have never tried it.
Ron liked the splinter kind. You know, it's a little bit firmer and it won't bend on you. And you might not get to, you know, it might not bend and then you get your finger in its asshole, because that would just be weird. We try to keep it not weird.
Sure. I agree. I don't want my dog to finger in a dog's asshole.
You're laughing at this. Somebody that's going to listen to this podcast is going to go home and put a match in their dog's ass to see if it works.
Guaranteed.
Okay, so if that's going to happen, disclaimer, don't do it if your dog's already housebroken. Like, if you've got the dog doing what you want to do, this step is irrelevant.
Oh, there's some experimenter out there.
Don't do it. Don't tell anybody you did it because Matt Peel said so.
No. Yeah, he didn't. No. Yeah. This is not Matt Peel approved. This is Big Honker.
There is some experimenter out there, though, that's going to go show his wife. You want to see something cool? Watch this.
Grab shit on command.
Grab Buck over there and grab some matches and meet me in the backyard. They're like, are we going to set the dog on fire?
Oh,
no, we're just going to make him shit.
Mm-mm-mm. That housebreaking scene is the worst part of having a dog.
Agreed. 100%.
And I don't know how you do it.
That's why I try to not take a bunch of them. It's usually a one and done. I got one coming, but it's a little bit older. Be like 4 months old, so kind of started potty training and everything.
See, I think that would be harder.
Couple weeks.
I think that would be harder, having a 4 month old and trying to start from scratch.
No, I mean, they've already started with the dog, on a very basic level. I have, with my puppy program stuff, I have really been trying to get away from just taking an 8 week old puppy.
Yeah.
For a couple reasons. One, I want him to go home and bond with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be just blatantly honest. It's easier for you to spend money on something that you fell in love with than it is for you to spend money on something that just has been living with me.
Right.
And because those first few nights, you deal with it.
Well, that's no shit.
I used to, man, I would take them, you know, whenever you wanted to give them to me at 8 weeks old. And it's not bad because I like doing it. But it wears on you after a while.
And fucking dogs, those first nights.
Terrible.
And that kennel. Whining all fucking night long. Oh.
If you have an enclosed garage, I highly recommend it.
It's so sad, too. Like, it is the most
miserable.
pitiful cry that you've ever heard in your entire life. He just got ripped away from everything that he knows.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, the first few days, I tell people try not to get on them too bad for barking like that.
Yeah.
Because they're literally, like, they've been alive on this earth for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, that's how long they've been here. They don't know anything else. All they have known is their mom, the breeder that was taking care of them, and their siblings. And now every ounce of that is gone.
Yep.
So the first few days, you know, you just kind of got to grin and bear it. Now after that, when we kind of have a little routine going, I'm going to need you to be quiet. But unless you got to go to the bathroom, please tell me about it. But other than that.
So how do you differentiate between the missing mom and my littermate's cry and, hey, no, like, I got to get out of this kennel and go to the bathroom?
You can tell if you fool with them long enough. Because, like, really, really smart pups, like, they'll almost – I've had puppies that, like, you're like, holy shit, did they get their toes hung up in the crate or something like that?
Yeah.
Because they, like, squeal like they're, you know, being drowned because they don't want to go to the bathroom in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the board, oh, somebody will just come save me.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, the no, fuck you, come get me, I'm going to shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now, granted, when you hear that, you might want to double time it across the living room to get over there. But – you know, they really, usually most of them are pretty good about telling you. You can kind of tell.
Right.
If they're just pissed off because they're in there, or they're like, no, I really got to go.
Yeah. And that's another thing, too, because I can remember switching foods when Lou was when we first got him. You know, he was on whatever Ron was feeding him, and I kind of fed him something differently. So I was always worried that that might kind of fuck with his stomach as a young puppy. So I was doing it in increments. But luckily, you know, like Jeff said with Ollie, I don't really – he had a couple accidents, but for the most part, like, we got to it in time.
Well, other than the wedding.
Well, he was sick, though. I mean, he fucking explosive.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I've heard a podcast about him shitting all over your house.
Yes.
Like, the whole house.
Twice.
The roof, everything.
Twice he did. So one time it was Father's Day last year. That's how I got to wake up to Father's Day. We were cooking something, and, like, we had some leftover chicken, and I just gave it to him because I felt bad. He's locking him up, and I guess that chicken was sour because I woke up the next day and there was liquid shit all over my fucking living room, and, like, little Hershey's Kisses was the only thing that was solid. So clean that up, and then, yeah, from the wedding, Zach's wedding, I don't know what it was because he didn't eat anything strange is what's weird about that. I didn't give him any – he had no human food of any kind. It was just what he eats. And, boy, me being drunk – and coming home and having to smell that, not a good situation.
Andy doesn't know this, but last weekend, Reese was telling me about this story.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, my daddy got drunk one night. I go, really? He goes, yeah. He said, and Lou crapped all over the house or pooped all over the house. I go, he goes, at Zach's wedding.
Oh, that's perfect.
Six-year-old kid.
They pick up on. I didn't even think he was awake for that. I don't know how.
He told me all about it. It was after Zach's wedding. Lou pooped all over the house. And maybe daddy, he's just, and maybe daddy he's was
just,
drunk.
Maybe he's just heard about it. I did. I puked all over.
Daddy was drunk.
Oh, that was great.
I puked all over the front yard.
Childhood memories.
Oh, yeah.
Daddy was drunk and the dog shit everywhere.
Dog shit everywhere.
When he gets to be 40 years old, he'll be telling that story. Yeah, we one time went to my uncle Zach's wedding and come home and the dog shit all over the house and daddy was drunk and throwing up everywhere. And mom was not too impressed.
But can you imagine, like, I've got the best friend in the world because he got home before us and he was trying to clean it up so that my wife wouldn't see it.
Yeah, that's a good dude.
Yeah, I would not do that, I promise you. I would sit outside.
I would be sitting on the front porch and being like, you got a mess in there to clean up.
Man, I got a select few group of guys that I would do that for, but not many.
I have nobody I would do that for. I'm not cleaning up shit that'd make me sick. There's no way.
But he knew that Lou and my wife are not on the best of terms, so he was like, I'll clean this up before they get home. Nobody will ever know. How he thought he was going to get that smell out of there in time, I don't know. Because the next day, Blake woke up hungover on the ground, and there's fucking tobacco all over my floor now. And he's like, oh, shit. Lou took a crap all over this floor last night, and I'm laying in it. I wish we could have had a camera that night because it was just a bunch of drunkos, except for my poor wife. She had to stay sober and cleaning up dog shit.
I got a question for you, Matt, on the field trial scene on the East Coast. Do y'all shoot live flyers still or hunt tests?
Yeah.
Have y'all had trouble with PETA yet out there? Have they tried to knock down on all that?
I don't even want to talk about it. I haven't heard anything, but you know how sometimes you talk about it too much, it'll stir it up. So I haven't seen anything yet, and I hope they don't.
That surprises me because that's been all these years. Because it's the same. That, even back 30 years ago, I remember people talking about that. Oh, one day they're going to do something. And I just was curious if they still shot live flyers.
They actually shoot it?
Oh, they take shot fly. I thought you went and shot one time in a field trial.
Well, fuck no, I'm not a good shot, Jeff.
Well, that's true. You take it. Yeah, they shoot pheasants or ducks.
Do they have to hit it on the first shot?
Well, it helps to kill it so the damn dog can retrieve it.
You would hope. You would hope that they do.
See, they're not gonna knock on my door then.
Yeah, I mean, first, second, a lot of times they'll have two people shooting with them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you know, because it's honestly they're not easy to hit. It's a hand thrown duck that catches wind and just trying to get the fuck away. Mm-hmm. So he's suspect to go, you know.
They're real easy. They're real easy to hit, Matt. Don't make him feel bad. They're real simple to hit. Andy's a shitty shot.
One of the biggest things talking about these flyers that I'm worried about, a lot of these clubs can't find, you know, like target loads, skeet loads, you know, lead sixes or eights or whatever. And I'm worried that, well, there's some dogs that if we didn't have a flyer, I'd appreciate it. But I don't know that how long we're going to be able to do it if the ammo shortage stays the way it is, because they just can't find the stuff.
I didn't even think about that. Do y'all still shoot poppers, like to throw the bird? Can you get poppers even right now? Because that's powder. No, that's the problem.
They got them for the one that we were at this past weekend, but I talked to the president of the club. He's a personal friend of mine. And he said it was like, you know, finding a needle in a haystack to even get them.
Things that we took for granted. Do they? Do you use the retriever trainer still ever? It's got the 22s, the blanks that go in them.
I use it occasionally. I use that a lot if I'm doing like drill work, because drill stuff gets boring. So I'll just shoot them a bumper off of that to kind of keep their attitudes up. I have a bunch. When I buy them, I'll buy like 10,000 22 blanks at a time, because we use them in like blank pistols too.
Right.
So I'm not going to run out anytime soon, and, you know, hopefully those won't go anywhere. But, yeah, those are still available, it seems.
But I tell you what, I got shot by a guy shot me with one of them one time. Woo! At about 30 yards away or 20 yards away.
Really?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, a dummy?
A retriever trainer.
Yeah.
With the bumper?
Yeah.
He shot you with the bumper?
Yeah, the little round-looking football-looking thing.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah, I was trying to...
That fucking thing's moving, too.
Yeah, it fucking was, and I'm pretty good. I was a good athlete at the time. I thought at least I could catch it or get out of the way from it, and it was behind...
this was a planned-out thing.
Well, we didn't plan it. We didn't say, hey, I want you to shoot at my fat ass.
He was fucking
guy. Ha-ha, you fucker, watch this, and pow, and he shot that fucker at me.
And what?
It's like a fucking missile coming at me. And,
yeah, that some bitch is not... it's not going slow.
This is how stupid the guy was about it. Tony had a brand new Mustang convertible sports car, and I was standing in front of this fucking car, and he shot it at me.
Jeff thought if he stood by the Mustang, he wouldn't shoot at it.
Yeah.
He wouldn't shoot at him, but he was like, oh, fuck it.
I'll shoot you at you, and he shot at me.
There you go.
Fuck that Mustang.
And I couldn't pick up it was on a white building, and I couldn't pick it up until about 5 yards from me, and I jumped, and that fucking thing hit me right above the dick. Oh, my God, it hurt so bad.
Holy shit. But, it probably knocked the wind out of you.
No, it didn't, but I got the motherfucker back. But I couldn't believe – I never thought – I said, ha-ha, and I stood in front of Tony's car. And that fucker – and I'd done something to him. I thought I might have shot him with a BB gun or some shit.
Him and that BB gun. I'm telling you what.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a recurring trend here with the BB gun.
Yeah.
I've shot a lot of people with that BB gun. At 20 yards pops me in the ass with it. It's pretty funny.
It ain't fucking 20 yards in that kitchen.
Okay, 10 yards.
It ain't fucking 10 yards in that kitchen. You would stand at the middle of the bar, which is about 5 to 7 yards, and we had a poor guy – his ass crack would just be everywhere all the time. And Jeff would always be like, hey, Luke, go get some croutons from below the bar. And Luke would, and then all of a sudden, right on his ass every time.
Matt, you got to go train some dogs.
Yeah, before he has a conniption.
I can tell.
Yeah. Keep it, like it's 10 o'clock.
He's keeping you on schedule, huh?
Well, y'all got to go.
Yeah.
You got to go train dogs.
You okay? All right.
You got to go
now
make.
Now he's upset that I embarrassed him on.
What? We don't even know who. We don't even.
What's his fucking name? What's his fucking name?
Yeah.
Connor McNamara. Come here, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Connor.
Yeah.
We were just having a good time and you ruined it.
Connor, is he going to get on camera now?
He's gone.
He's gone.
What all? What all?
They want to say hi.
Hi, Connor.
Connor, how you doing?
What's going on?
You kind of wormy. You're wanting to get out the door, huh?
No, I was just making Matt aware that we are going to run out of daylight at some point today.
At 10 o'clock, what's on y'all's agenda?
Train dogs.
Yeah, we had a little rain delay this morning, so.
A little?
Yeah, a little.
What time does it get dark there at night? 7:30, 8 o'clock?
Roundabout, yeah.
And you're going to run out of daylight? How many fucking dogs you training today?
Shit, well, Matt brought, I got 24 with me.
Good gosh, almighty.
15 or 16, I think.
Y'all should have started about 4 this morning then.
No kidding. Yeah, well, it was pouring, and I'm not about that life, so.
7 days a week with 24 dogs. God bless you.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So, okay, before we let you go, what all are we doing today?
We got a bunch of dogs in this test this weekend, and we're going to run them first. Because they kind of, the day before the test, they're kind of the priority. And then after that, just whatever the dogs that are on the truck that day need. So if we get out and there's some dogs having issues with marking, then we'll just throw a bunch of marking drills. If we got young dogs and they're having issues handling, then we're going to do some handling drills. Kind of like our training days are, once we throw a setup for the dogs that are at that level, everything else, it just kind of trickles down with what that specific dog needs that day. And it might change in the middle of what we're doing.
Right.
So
it's never like a, I don't really have like a, or we don't have like a planned out calendar of, well, this is what we're doing today, this is what we're doing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Just kind of go with the flow.
Tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
If you need my email, it's goosecreekretrievers@gmail.com. Pretty easy. On Facebook, Goose Creek Retrievers, Matt Peel. And Instagram, Goose Creek Retrievers. It's all.
and you take easy. You take basically all age groups. I mean, the puppy training is you're pretty well got what you want on that, but anything above that.
Yeah, I usually try to get dogs around 6-7 months old.
Okay.
Once their adult teeth are in and we can really start, you know, doing formal training. And go from there.
Beautiful. Well, Matt, I wish we had not got cut short by that motherfucker Connor back there.
God damn it, Connor.
But y'all have stuff to do, and I understand. No,
Connor's hired a new bird boy, and we got to go pick him up. So that's gotcha. What the
He can't drive.
Oh. Does he have a does he
Yeah, he's not old enough to drive.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know if it was like DWIs or what it was.
No Deweys.
All right, you guys, be safe out there. We appreciate you coming on here.
Yeah, man.
Good Thanks luck in the test this weekend.
All right, good luck, buddy. God bless you. Bye.
All right, now. Bye-bye.
Matt Peel.
Matthew Peel. Goose Creek Retrievers. He is that the puppy training, it's the worst. And if you can outsource it, people, outsource it to a guy like Matt.
I'm one of them guys, so I bought a puppy. I wouldn't want to see it till it's about 9 months old.
No, he's right. No.
For me personally, because if I was getting a dog to hunt, I wouldn't want one till 9 months to a year, and I don't need that bonding part. But if I had a family and it was a family puppy, then yes, you bring the dog home. And he's smart on that deal. Get them loving that dog.
And because, listen, there's endless amounts of money people will spend on their dog when they love them.
Capitalism, right there. A perfect example of a man that's making a living doing something he enjoys doing,
mm-hmm.
and he's busted his ass to get to where he is, I'm sure, to become that. And that's what that is what makes America so cool. Stuff like that, like us in the hunting business, mm-hmm. you know, we're not all gonna become world famous like you, but find something you like to do and find a way to make a living at it. It's possible.
Absolutely. I don't even know what the fuck we talked about in that episode. I was having a good time. And then Connor just came up and was like, hey, you got to stop.
Damn it, Connor. All right, let's get off here. Everybody, hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful week.
Check out all of our sponsors. Give Matt a call at Goose Creek Retrievers. We're excited to have him on board. Check out Bangtail Whiskey. They ship everywhere. Goes right to your door. Stanfield Hunting Outfitters, Gun Dog Outdoors. They've got some new bumpers out you want to check out. Pacific Calls, Boss Shot Shells, Dive Bomb Industries, Blind Grass, Lucky Duck, Dirty Duck Coffee, and the Looking Glass Duck Club.